Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. There's a challenge to the conventional understanding that the man who wrote the well-known plays and poems of the 16th century during the reign of Queen Elizabeth I in England was a person named William Shakespeare. Actually, there are other ways of pronouncing his names. The reasons behind this challenge is the topic of this edition of Radio Curious, with two men from Willits, California, who have made almost a career out of discussing this issue and studying the plays and poems. We'll visit today with Mike Adair and Bill Ray, the two gentlemen from Willits, California. Mike Adair and Bill Ray, welcome to Radio Curious.
Thanks, Barry.
Thanks, Barry. Good to be here.
So what is the reason behind the challenge that you're putting forth that the man who wrote these plays was not William Shakespeare?
Well, we're devoted readers, kind of rustic intellectuals, but more than anything, we're committed to the truth. And very ironically, so was the man that wrote the plays and the poems that are attributed to William Shakespeare, which has been recognized as a pseudonym conventionally, but also believed to be an individual from Stratford-on-Avon.
Who was he?
The individual from Stratford-on-Avon?
Yes.
Take this over, Mike.
Well, he was born into the home of a sort of a small-scale businessman who was a glover, manufacturer of gloves. And he did, I think he, people say, he may have also sold wool. That was his father. He grew up in a small town that was 2 or 3 days away from London. Very remote, very few books. Both of his parents were illiterate. It is said that he went to the local free school, sort of a public school. And it is also said that he dropped out of that school at the age of 13, when his father began to have financial difficulties. As far as we know, he did not receive any further education.
Who is this fellow?
Well, his name is William Shakespeare. S-H-A-K-S-P-E-R-E. He's the man who, you know, married Anne Hathaway and had a child by her and then had twins about 1585, I believe, and then he disappears from the record. No one knows where he went, what he did. He shows up in London publishing Venus and Adonis, purportedly, in 1593. and from there, various plays of William Shakespeare are published throughout the mid and late 1590s. He seems to retire to Stratford-upon-Avon. Seems like he goes back and forth, but he's mostly in Stratford, and he dies in April of 1616. What would it be? 7 years later, his collected plays are published, and that's the First Folio. And he's recognized as this great genius at that time.
So you're both alleging that the plays of William Shakespeare or William Shakespeare were actually written by someone else.
That's right, yes.
Absolutely. They were written by Edward de Vere, who was the aristocrat, writing about the aristocracy, which is the whole import of plays and poems of William Shakespeare. And what Mike has told you is perfectly accurate. Shakespeare did go to London, and rather than him writing the plays, he was the front man for Edward de Vere.
If we assume that the plays and the poems that were written by de Vere or Shakespeare or Shakespeare, mm-hmm. whoever they were written by, add a great deal to thought and culture of not only the English language, but many of the other idioms into which they have been interpreted. And as you say, Bill, you're committed to the truth. Why is defining this truth so important?
Well, for an intellectual, it's very important to know who wrote a given thing, because one of the major ways that you understand a work of art is the life and the motivation of the person that writes it.
Of the artist.
Yeah. If you have a novel by Ernest Hemingway, you understand that novel in terms of the raw experiences of Ernest Hemingway.
Well, can you share with us then the raw experiences of the life of Edward de Vere?
De Vere was the scion of the oldest line in England, the House of Oxford. He was at the very apex of the aristocracy of the rich barbaric culture that was England in the 16th century. He was a prodigy. He was found very early to be committed to history and to writing and to understanding why life is as it is and why people are as they are. His father had a play company. He saw plays from a very early stage of his life. He enjoyed them. He acted in plays. He was recognized as Hosti Vibrans, which in Latin means spear shaker, leading back to Pallas Athena, the goddess of the arts, who would smash her or knock her spear against her shield to tell people that she was going to give them a prophecy or give them information that would change their lives. So to me, that is the first instance of Shakespeare, that he was a spear shaker.
I'll continue a little bit with talking about his life. He was raised in the house of the man who was essentially the prime minister of England of the time. His name was William Cecil. Later he was titled Lord Burghley. This is the man who was Queen Elizabeth's principal secretary, what we would now call a prime minister. He was basically pretty much in charge of the government. And he was the most powerful man in England. That was his stepfather. he was Edward de Vere. When his father, John de Vere, died, he became a ward of the crown. And he went to live with William Cecil. He was 12 years old at the time. He spent his entire teens with William Cecil, who probably had one of the greatest and the finest libraries in England. And William Cecil had access to the greatest tutors, the most knowledgeable men, and some of whom were directed to educate de Vere. De Vere received honorary degrees from Cambridge University and Oxford University. He attended Gray's Inn in London, which was a school that taught the law. You know, it was for training for lawyers. And when he was 21, Edward de Vere married the daughter of William Cecil. Her name was Anne Cecil. And then when he was 25, he went and toured Europe by himself with, you know, a few retainers and servants. And he was gone for 14 months. He went all over Europe. He went to Italy. He spent about 4 or 5 months in Venice. He went to Greece. He went to the Adriatic. He went to Sicily. He went up to France. All of these locations figure in the plays. And various scholars who've done a lot of research have determined that the author of the plays, whoever it was, knew Venice, knew Florence, knew Mantua, very closely. It was beyond book learning. It was beyond the kind of knowledge that you could get from reading a book. And Edward de Vere was there, and we know that he was there. So that takes him up to like his 25th year. Bill, why don't you talk a little bit about the next period of time in his life?
Before you do that, I'd like to say that in this edition of Radio Curious, we're talking with Mike Adair and Bill Ray, two men from Willits, California, who are advancing the challenge to the conventional understanding that the man who wrote the well-known plays and poems of the 16th century in England during the reign of Queen Elizabeth I was actually Edward de Vere, not a person named William Shakespeare. You're listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel.
Mike has given you a very brief biography. I would say that Edward de Vere was the most autobiographical writer in history, even more autobiographical than Jack Kerouac and Henry Miller, because he put in precise facts about his movements, about his relationships, and about his thoughts that are identical to his own life. And his language, his writing style, is precisely the same as what you find in the plays and the sonnets. And I can give you examples of that.
Would you please?
Yeah. When he was 23, this was before he went to Europe, he was already committed to writing as a means of glorifying God and improving humanity around him. Books had just come in, and he sponsored the publication of books so that they could be distributed at large, so that everyone could improve themselves by just reading the books. And he wrote an essay to the first translator of a certain book called Cardanus Conforte, which is on death and dying, translating the work of Jerome Cardan, who was a mathematical genius and also wrote about death. And these are some of the phrases in that essay, and I'll also adduce phrases that eventually became the works of, quote, William Shakespeare. When de Vere was 23, he wrote, "Execute mine own intentions." In Henry, the sixth, there is the phrase, "this sudden execution of my will." When De Vere was 23, he wrote, "My affection for you could move me not a little." In one of his works, Shakespeare writes, "These pretty pleasures might me move." When De Vere was 23, he wrote, "When I had thoroughly considered in my mind," in Richard III, there is the phrase, "I have considered in my mind the late demand you did sound in me." When De Vere was 23, he wrote, "Whether it were best to obey mine own affections or the merits of your study." In Antony and Cleopatra, there is the line, "My sword, made weak by my affection, would obey it on all cause." These are a few exact similarities that we could multiply into hundreds. Joseph Sobran, in his book Alias Shakespeare, reviewed about 20 poems of the early De Vere and found hundreds upon hundreds of similarities in the later, quote, Shakespeare. A man's writing style cannot be faked, and it seems overwhelming that the writing style of De Vere is the very same as is in the plays, as well as the life of De Vere is reflected in the plays. The outstanding example is Hamlet. Now, Mike reviewed De Vere's early life very briefly, but what happened when De Vere was 12 was that his father was reportedly poisoned by a rival. Then his lands were taken over, his wife was taken over. We're talking about Robert Dudley, who was the Earl of Leicester, who took over the Oxford lands, and he had his assistant marry De Vere's mother, and this is precisely the plot of Hamlet, and we can feel the rage and revenge that De Vere himself felt in the play of Hamlet.
I wanted to, let me jump in here for a second. Talking about Hamlet, there's some interesting parallels between the play Hamlet and between De Vere's life. For example, some scholars, beginning with a scholar named George Russell French, who wrote in 1869, believe that the character of Polonius in Hamlet is a dramatic representation of William Cecil. And it's difficult to deny that there are strong similarities between William Cecil and Polonius. And I'll give you just three examples of their similarity. Lord Burleigh's book, Lord Burleigh wrote a book of advice to his son. It was called Certain Precepts. It contains numerous pithy maxims on how to advance your career. And these maxims sound very similar to what Polonius tells Laertes in his "To Thine Own Self Be True" speech in Hamlet. Certain Precepts was published in 1618, long after Hamlet had been finished and produced. In addition, it was probably written by William Cecil to his first son, Thomas, who was going away to study in Paris in 1561. 3 years before Shakespeare was born. So that's one similarity. A second similarity is that Burleigh had a motto, a Latin motto, cor unum via una, which means roughly one heart, one way. In the 1603 version of Hamlet, the Polonius character is called cor ambis, which would mean in Latin, well, in English, it would mean two hearts, which is kind of a little jab at his two-faced nature. Another similarity is that when Burley's son Thomas went away to Paris to go to college, Burley set spies upon him to spy on him. And that's what Burley does, or that's what Polonius does in the play Hamlet. He spies on Laertes, and he spies on Hamlet. Those are just three similarities between the life of Edward de Vere and the character and the play of Hamlet.
I would add to what Mike has said by saying that Polonius fathered a sweet and pliable daughter whom he secretly tried to marry off to Hamlet, and William Cecil fathered a sweet and pliable daughter, Anne, whom he endeavored to marry off to de Vere. Polonius had the wayward son who escaped to Paris, and Polonius had him spied on. William Cecil did the same. Polonius was his monarch's devoted and servile minister. William Cecil had exactly that role to play in government. Hamlet says, "A certain convocation of political worms are even at him. Your worm is your only emperor for diet," which was a reference to Polonius. Cecil was born during the Diet of Worms in Germany in 1520.
Well, Bill Ray and Mike Adair, how does all of this relate to us now in the first decade of the 21st century, almost 500 years later?
That's a very good question. Bill, why don't you take it?
All right.
I can say this. William Shakespeare is regarded as the greatest writer in the history of the world. His plays have been done basically from the time they were written. They've never gone off the stage, with the exception of a brief period of time in England when the Puritans were in the government. They're William Shakespeare. William Shakespeare's the most popular playwright in the world. And we don't know who wrote the plays. We've been attributing it to the wrong person. So just for the sake of the truth, it's important to know who really wrote the plays. And it's also, I think, it casts a tremendously important light on the real politics that obtained in England during that day. All this stuff was not done by accident. It was done for a political reason, and that political reason has been obscured.
When you say all of this was done for a political reason, you're referring to the creation of the plays and the poems and their presentation.
No, I'm referring to the fact that the true author was suppressed. He could not reveal his name.
And in the plays himself, he secretly asked that in future his cause be judged aright. And we find that in the play that we've been talking about, "Report me and my cause aright to the unsatisfied," he said.
So then how do we bring this now to our time? How do we use this knowledge to affect our lives?
Well, I think one thing that we should start doing as a culture, and we're not there yet, but perhaps in a few years people will be able to be teaching this to our children. And we'll be saying, okay, well, these were written by Edward de Vere, not by William Shakespeare. And then someone will ask, well, then how come for 400 years we thought it was William Shakespeare? And we can tell them the truth.
The truth being?
Well, we haven't talked too much about that, but it has to do with Queen Elizabeth, I think, the Virgin Queen, the woman who was put forward by William Cecil to basically replace the Virgin Mary.
The one who the state of Virginia was named after.
The very same. As you know, Barry, England had been a Catholic country until Henry VIII discovered that he could not have any more male children from his queen. So he divorced her, and in order to do that, he formed his own church. He broke away from the Catholic Church.
And biologically, it had nothing to do with her. It was all him.
Well,
or chance,
right,
as the case may have been.
Well, he thought it was that he was cursed by God, and so he He ripped his country apart, creating a whole new church, which, by the way, happened to exercise and excite the energies of an emerging class of new men who wanted to create the world in their image. The rising class of the middle class, perhaps, the people who were not connected with the aristocracy, people who were connected with business, people who were Protestants, people who wanted to create and then embrace the Protestant ethic. Okay? William Cecil befriended Elizabeth and supported Elizabeth and guided Elizabeth, who, by the way, was a tremendous woman and a great queen. But at the same time, they created a mystique or a cult of virginity around Elizabeth. And there were various relations that obtained between Elizabeth and de Vere, which could not be made public.
Well, Bill Ray and Mike Adair, I want to thank you for being with us on Radio Curious. And before we close, I want to ask you both the two quick questions. First, Bill, what is the most important thing you've learned in the last year?
That there is no death, but that there is separation.
And Mike, what's the most important thing that you've learned in the past year?
Can you ask me that next week? I would say I'm continuing to explore the possibilities, Barry, that... that God is in control of everything.
And Bill, can you recommend a book?
Yes. I recommend the book Stoner, which is not about marijuana at all. It's the name of a professor in a Midwestern university by John Williams. It shows that the novel is not dead and not about to die. It's a wonderful evocation of a professor and the lonely life he must lead.
Mike Adair, what book can you recommend?
I would recommend a book called Darwin's Black Box by Michael Behe.
Mike Adair and Bill Ray, thank you very much for being with us on Radio Curious.
We were just scratching the surface, Barry, maybe another time.
Thanks very much, Barry.
Michael Adair and Bill Ray live in Willits, California, and have come to believe that the works which are generally attributed to a person named William Shakespeare or Shakespeare were actually written by a nobleman named Edward de Vere. They've studied this topic extensively and have written about it and have a lecture circuit of their own. The book that Michael Adair recommends is Darwin's Black Box, The Biochemical Challenge to Evolution by Michael Behe. The book that Bill Ray recommends is Stoner by John Williams. For further information on this topic, you may go to www.wjray.net. And follow the leads on that website to Thoughts and Shakespeare Papers for recommended books or for a DVD of the William Ray and Mike Adair lectures. You can write to Various Project, V-E-R-I-O-S Project, at Post Office Box 2173, in Willits, California, 95490. This interview with Bill Ray and Mike Adair was recorded in the studios of Radio Curious on March 14, 2008. Copies of this and other editions of Radio Curious can be found on our website, www.radiocurious.org. They're also available in CD format for $10 each. You've been listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Thank you for joining us.